Now, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like us to look at the Lord Jesus and to see the unique Jesus. Now, there's always a danger when you create leaflets that you give the game away a little bit in terms of your headings. But we're going to look this evening at the Lord Jesus and his life, look at his birth and his childhood, his adulthood, his death, and his resurrection this evening. And as I mentioned, there's some Bible verses that I've put there for reference and for reading later, if so desired. So we'll start by looking at the Lord Jesus in his unique birth and his childhood. Now, as we're entering into the Christmas period, we probably know most things about the Lord Jesus' birth in terms of the facts. We know things about Bethlehem and about angels and shepherds and wise men and things like that. There are many things that we can learn about his birth. But there are some parts of his birth which are very ordinary, and there's some parts which are most definitely unique. Some of the ordinary parts is he's born into an ordinary family. He's not born into a royal family. He's not born the son of a king. He's born to Joseph, who is a carpenter from a small town called Nazareth. And he's also born to Mary. He's not a prince in the earthly sense when he is born. He's taken in his mother's womb from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and he arrives there and there is no room for him. A very ordinary circumstance in those occasions, as a census has been called by Rome. There was no room for him, and a manger was the only place that he could be laid down. There was no palace, there was no silk bed laid out for him as the King of Kings. There was no fanfare for men, and there was no riches to behold for him. There are a number of things about the Lord Jesus' birth which were very ordinary. But then there were some parts which were so very unique. And well, no doubt we'll hear about some of those over the coming weeks. But Mary, his mother, was a virgin. It was a miracle birth, unique in all of history. It had to be that way for him to be born of a woman, but also to be a child of the Holy Spirit. It says in Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Jesus was unique in that he is fully God and he was fully man at the same time, born to a virgin. There is nothing more unique than the Son of God coming from heaven down to earth and being born as a baby. So some parts of the Lord Jesus' birth may well be quite ordinary and maybe not what is expected of a king, but some parts are so very unique. There's not much about the rest of the Lord Jesus' childhood that's told to us. It's a mixture of some things that are very ordinary, like him going to Jerusalem for the Passover on an annual basis. And then there are some parts which we're shown that are very unique. A famous part of the Christmas story, which doesn't actually happen at his birth, but we tend to remember it, was his visit from the wise men from the east. They had seen the presence of the star in the night sky. They obviously studied the sky, and they had seen this star that had come. It says in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.'" These men knew that this star signified that a king had been born, and they wanted to come and to worship him. But it wasn't just any king who had been born, though. He was a unique king. How many other kings and queens in history have had stars in the sky that have directed people to come and to worship him? This wasn't just any child or any just any king, but it was the king that people had been waiting for and that God was signifying and showing to the world. This was just a glimpse of how extraordinary this child was to be as he was to grow up. But his birth and his childhood had some ordinary things, and it had some very extraordinary things. So that's his birth and his childhood. We'll now look at his adulthood, because not much is known about the next 20 or 30 years until Jesus is approximately 30 years old. The Bible doesn't really tell us that much about him in that phase of life. We know that his dad was a carpenter, Joseph, his father. We know that Jesus became a carpenter as well. It tells us in Mark 6, verse 3. He has a normal job in a normal family, and he's learnt the trade of his family, and he stayed in Nazareth with Mary and with Joseph. But then, at 30 years old, things obviously changed forever. The world would never be the same. Jesus came from being in Nazareth and being a carpenter to being in the public eye and a teacher in Israel and in Judah. Now, obviously, there's not enough time to look at every single thing about the Lord Jesus and his life this evening. So I'm just thinking of some of the key points about it and what we can see that is unique about the Lord Jesus in his adult life. The first thing that as I was reading through Mark that really struck me was the fact that the Lord Jesus, as Son of God, never sinned. The Lord Jesus is unique in all of history. Every man and woman, boy and girl has fallen short of God's standards. The Bible tells us that. But the Lord Jesus, in his deity, in his in being God, never sinned. He was perfect in every way. It tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest, that is Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." The Lord Jesus lived a perfect life. He didn't have thoughts like we might have. He didn't have words that came out of his mouth. He did not do things that were wrong and disobeyed God's commands. He followed the law perfectly. And that makes him unique in all of history. The second thing that struck me as I was reading through Mark and the other Gospels is the Lord Jesus had power over creation. I've put some Bible verses here in terms of references to look at some of the things, but we know them, don't we? There are many stories that we're told as children, and we've heard many times. We hear the Lord Jesus calm storms with his words. He turned water into wine, the wedding in Cana. He raised the dead back to life by just speaking a word. He healed the sick who had been ill for their whole lives. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk just by the power of his word. There is no one in history who has had that capability to be able to do those things. The Lord Jesus is unique in his power over creation. One of the other things that struck me was the fact that the Lord Jesus is a unique teacher. The Lord Jesus taught so many things to people and revealed so many things about God the Father, about himself, about the world around him, and about the brokenness of the human heart. As that quote that I read earlier tells us, it references the fact that our hearts are broken, and the Lord Jesus shows us those things and reveals to us why the world is the way that it is today. But the Lord Jesus did that in a patient way. He did that in a way that was with love and with care. He wanted to explain the things so that people could see them. And he wanted not just the rich people, the powerful people, to be able to hear those words, but he wanted those who were marginalized, those who were poor, those who had been cast out from society, and those who were very broken to hear those things as well. The Lord Jesus said things directly. He didn't say things that could be misinterpreted. He said them full of truth. I was just thinking about some of the stuff that's been going on in the election recently. I'm not going to talk politics from the pulpit, but if you compare the way that people, men and women, talk in our world on the news or in interviews or politicians talking during debates, you can just see the contrast between the Lord Jesus and the people that our world has chosen to be leaders. If we put them, those people, and ourselves next to the Lord Jesus and see how we compare and they compare in word and deed, it just shows how amazing and unique the Lord Jesus was in his life. He always balanced the need for care and for love and for being able to look after people, but he never compromised, and he also always stood for truth. It's an amazing thing to read and to see. The Lord Jesus was not interested in being popular. He wasn't interested in everybody liking him as he spoke. He was interested in truth. And it's a challenge for us today as to make sure that our words are full of truth and we take the opportunities that we have to be able to speak them to others. Now, I urge you, it'd be wonderful if even this evening, I calculated, I think you could probably read the Gospel of Mark in under an hour if you read it continuously through. I've only been able to draw out a few special things about the Lord Jesus, but maybe you could read the Gospel of Mark this evening and you'll be able to see his life is so unique. It was three amazing years that the Lord Jesus spent teaching and preparing his people for the time to come. He loved the lost and he loved those who had no hope. And that love took him to his death. So that's his adulthood. And then we know that the Lord Jesus was brought to his death. And it was a unique death. But it was unique not in its method, because crucifixion was a common method used by the Roman Empire, but it was unique in its significance. But why was it so significant? Well, it was significant because of who the Lord Jesus was and why he came. We've just thought about how unique the Lord Jesus was in his birth, his childhood, and in his adult life. And we know that the Old Testament said that someone would come and they would save people from the punishment they deserve for their sin. And that would be, there would have to be a saviour to make things right between men and God. And the Lord Jesus was that saviour. It was interesting, David picked it out this morning. It was a verse that I was going to quote this evening in Isaiah 53 and verses 5. To 6, it points so clearly towards what happened to the Lord Jesus and why his death was so unique. It says, he, that is Lord Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Only the Lord Jesus could fix the problem of us all going astray. It had to be someone who was free from sin, yet a man, which we've seen that the Lord Jesus is the only one uniquely who could fulfill that through his life, living a perfect life, a spotless life, and through his deity. So after 3 years of turning the world upside down with his teaching, it culminated with the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, crucified for sinners like you and like me to make peace with God. It says here in those verses, doesn't it? The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sin was laid upon him during his death. And what did his death bring? Where it says, when he breathed his last, he cried, "It is finished." Now, there's a verses in John 19. It says, "After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." They're poignant words and powerful words, hearing of that moment when the Lord Jesus died for this, for the sin of you and of you of me this evening. When the Lord Jesus breathed his last and said, "It is finished," it was the peace that he had bought was the outcome of his death. It was bought with God for broken people like you and like me. It was an eternal life, an exchange of his righteousness onto us through one payment, and his debt, our debt paid through the Lord Jesus and his death. It was a unique death. There was no one else who could die that death for us. There was no one else who could take that punishment that we deserved. And it was the complete work when he cried out, "It is finished." But although it was a unique death, it didn't end there. We go on to think of his unique resurrection. The Lord Jesus was taken down, and he ended up being buried in a tomb donated by a man from Arimathea called Joseph. And on the third day, he arose and was restored to life by the power of God. Now he had to rise to show that he had conquered death, that the power of God was greater than death and sin. Those who had believed in him, those who had trusted in him, and those who now trust in him can know that death no longer holds sway and holds no sting for us, because the Lord Jesus went and died upon that cross and then rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 to 57. They say, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus conquered death. He was resurrected on the third day, as he had predicted, and as he had promised his followers. He conquered death, and then he showed himself to encourage his disciples and other friends. And he also showed himself to 500 other people. The same Jesus, a risen, glorified King, yet also a pierced Saviour who bore the wounds of his mission on earth. He had completed that mission to ransom many from their sin. It's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. It always reminds me of when David joined the church and spoke through Mark. Our service used to start at 10:45 on a Sunday, and he started in Mark. Mark 10:45 is one of my favourite verses. It's always stuck in my mind, for it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's an amazing verse to read through and to understand and to think upon and to meditate upon, that the Son of Man, the Son of God, would come down, and that he would die upon that cross, and that he would give his life for us. What a life the Lord Jesus led. What a death that he died. And to see his resurrection through the Bible, and to think about those things and what they mean to us right now, is such a privilege for us. But what does all of these things that we've read, the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus, mean to us right at this moment? Do you see this Jesus as the Son of God yourself? Do you see this Jesus as the Saviour of the world? Do you see him as someone who is unique? Or do you see him as someone who is a nice man, a clever man, someone who's a good teacher, but actually a bit of a fuss about nothing? Seriously, the answers to those questions will define whether you go to heaven or to hell. There is nothing more serious than the answer to the question as to whether you believe that the Lord Jesus came down to earth, died upon the cross to take away your sin and my sin. Now, if you believe, then we have to fall down and we have to worship this Jesus. We have to see his glory. We have to marvel at his life, how he lived, how he died. Are we walking close to Jesus? Or has he become less unique to us as our Christian walk has gone on? It's very easy for us, isn't it, in our busy lives as we become familiar with things in the Bible, for these things to become less amazing, to become less unique. I was talking to someone the other day and they just had the burning fire of having just become a Christian. And it was a real challenge to me as a believer to think upon whether I still have that same fire as I did when I first became a believer. I love the words of the hymn that say, "Fix your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his marvellous face, and the world around will grow strangely dim." Now, are your eyes fixed upon him, or have you got distracted by the things around us? We have to pray, don't we, every single day and every single week, that the words on the front of this pulpit, that we would see Jesus as we read the Bible, that that would be true for us each and every day. Now, if you don't believe, then I would ask that you read the Gospels with an open mind. Think about what the Lord Jesus says, how he interacts with people, people who are lost, how he loves those who are lost, love those who are lost like you. Will you ask God to reveal to you whether these things that are written in his word are true or not? Look at your life, look at life around us and the world that we see, and see, does it fit with what the Lord Jesus says? Put it to the test and ask God to prove it to you, that these things are true. There's a wonderful quote that I read again about the Lord Jesus, and to me it just speaks of the wonder and the uniqueness of him. It says, "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book, he never held an office, he never owned a home, he never had a family, he never went to university, he never put his foot inside any of the large cities of the time. He never travelled more than a few hundred miles from the place that he was born. He never did any of the things that our world regards as greatness. He had no credentials but himself." I love that. He had no credentials but himself. "While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had on earth whilst he was dying, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. Such was his human life. Now he rises from the dead. Centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centrepiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am on the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, and all the navies that ever were built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life of the Lord Jesus. 20 centuries ago, poor, no stature, nothing to promote his message, but look how his message has spread. Hundreds of millions of Christians all over the world follow him as their Saviour and Lord. They, I, and many of people here have looked and they have seen and found the unique King, born of a virgin, fully God and fully man. He lived the perfect life. He died a desperate death for us to be at peace with God for free. Praise the Lord, that is our unique Jesus. All of us, let's think tonight upon these wonderful things that we might see him and live.